MTBE is shorthand for a chemical called methyl tertiary butyl ether. If you don't know about it yet, you will. It's a gasoline additive that is contaminating drinking water from Maine to California and has been called the biggest environmental crisis of the next decade.
There's nothing like a 60 Minutes expose to get a story attention. For months, government regulators and at least some congressmen knew MTBE was a problem. But it took this 60 Minutes piece to push legislators into action. Now Congress is working to ban the chemical. Steve Croft was the correspondent for the MTBE story.
When we do stories well and we reach a good-sized audience, in some ways we have a lot of grassroots power. We have the ability to reach 20 or 30 million people every Sunday and have them pick up the phone and call their congressman or complain.
That's what happened when 60 Minutes looked at ALAR more than 10 years ago. ALAR was used on apples. The CBS story sparked a public outcry, congressional debate, and an eventual ban. But despite such high-profile examples, stories like these are rare. That's because environmental stories make up a very small percentage of media news coverage. And that concerns media analyst Bud Ward. Ward publishes Environment Writer, a media watchdog newsletter. He says that many newspapers have been trimming their staffs and no longer have a full-time environment reporter.
So what used to be the environmental reporter is now the science, technology, space, medicine, and environment reporter. That's a big beat. And environment does not compete well against those other four in most news organizations. So it's getting less attention.
Another difficulty for reporters, says Ward, is the reality that many of the more visible problems, such as burning rivers and huge chemical dumps, are gone. What remains, he says, are stories that are more complicated, yet have a greater effect on people's lives.
We see more of the exotic, distant, and far-off issues, like global warming or endangered species. But those aren't the headline grabbers. Those aren't show me the victim. Type stories that some in the media still want to portray.
Even when reporters do highlight important issues, they don't often get the response of a 60 Minutes piece. Sharon Friedman runs the Science and Environment Writing Program at Lehigh University. She points to the case of radon, a dangerous radioactive gas that seeps into homes and can cause lung cancer.
The media covered radon, the government covered radon. Our government had all kinds of campaigns to try and get people to pay attention to radon. But for the most part, in good portions of the country, people just didn't want to be bothered with it.
Friedman says that may be because radon wasn't as dramatic an issue as some of the others featured in a typical 60 Minutes piece. But some public health advocates say the lack of a response to the radon stories was unusual. Blakeman Early is with the American Lung Association. He says that in many areas, the press has done a good job in uncovering major health hazards and prompting action.
On the issue of cleaning up toxic hazardous waste dumps, better known as Superfund, there's little doubt that the focus of the media on Love Canal and other sort of outrageous examples of the problem got that up on the radar screen and caused Congress to focus on it.
That was certainly the case with MTBE. Even though the EPA was aware of MTBE's environmental dangers early on, it could not act to ban the chemical without congressional approval. So the EPA's Bob Pergiseppe, featured in the 60 Minutes piece, says he willingly took the heat for the MTBE problem. He says the outcome, quick congressional action, was worth it.
If a dramatic presentation of a very complicated issue is presented to the American public and it spurs on the action of those bodies, like Congress, to dig into the issue and take their deliberations, that is good news.
Pergiseppe says newspapers and television stations are essential vehicles in getting the EPA's message out. But Lehigh's Sharon Friedman says there is also a new option for environmental coverage, the World Wide Web.
People can turn to their own sites of interest, and the government has many environmental websites up there. Industry has many environmental websites, as do, of course, environmental organizations. And so we're no longer dependent on the media if we're interested.
Friedman says the web is helping to fill the gap left by the low level of coverage the environment receives in the mainstream media. But she says that there's still no substitute yet for the widespread attention stories can receive through major print and broadcast outlets. And she hopes it doesn't take another problem like MTBE to ensure that important environmental issues make the headlines. For the Great Lakes Radio Consortium, I'm Julie Halpert.